Okay. Henry, is there a sponsor that I don't know about or forgot?
No, next week.
Oh, okay, fine. All right. So I was looking for a topic relating to the Parsha, and I'll tell you exactly how much I'm cheating. I noticed I wanted to talk about Tochacha because I noticed that there seems to be a lot of it. Moshe says bad things about Bnei Yisrael. They say bad things about him. Everybody complains about God. But then I found a Rashi on our Parsha that completely justifies the topic. Okay, so the first thing I want to talk about, first let's look at some psukim and see, not Lashon Hara, God forbid, but just, I don't know, criticism or lack of confidence. All right, I guess I got to pull up a sheet. Here we go. Okay, this is last week's Parsha. God speaks to Moshe at the Sinai, and he said, and Moshe answers, Vayomer Moshe, Vayan Moshe Vayomer, Vehain lo yaaminu li, velo yishma'u bikoli, We pass by the pasuk pretty quickly sometimes. It's bad. Moshe says, Klal Yisrael are not going to believe me. They won't listen to me. And they're going to call me a liar. They're going to say, Lo nira elecha Hashem. That's pretty stiff criticism. Then you come to this week's parsha. And there, Paro gets angry at Moshe and Aaron and takes away the straw. And they say, Vayomru aleihem, Yeireh Hashem aleichem v'yishpot. God should judge you, Moshe and Aaron, asher hivashtem et reichenu b'einei Paro v'einei avadav, lotet cher b'yadam largenu. Pretty angry stuff. And then Chaf Bet, Vayashav Moshe el Hashem vayomar, Hashem, lama hareyota la'am hazeh, lama zeh shelachtan. So then Moshe turns to God and says to him, you've made it worse. Umeyaz bati el paro le'lev shmecha heira la'am hazeh, v'hatzeh lo hitzalta et amecha. Right? Things have gotten worse, and you haven't saved us at all. It's pretty harsh stuff. And then you come to the pasuk that I want to talk about, or just use as a jumping-off point. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, re'e netaticha Elokim lefaro, v'aharon achicha yihyeh nevi'acha. God says, Moshe, you'll go with Aaron to Paro. You'll talk to him, but then v'aharon achicha yihyeh nevi'acha. What does it mean to be a navi? So I think, we would all just use the word a prophet. And I'm not saying that's wrong, but Rashi uses another word. Quoting Onkelos, Yihyeh nevi'acha, kitargumo miturgumenacha. Okay, he'll be your miturgan. That's a word that we know, a translator. But then Rashi continues, V'chein kol lashon nevuah. What does it mean? The language of nevuah or being a navi, what is it? Adam hamachriz u'mashmi'a la'am. Divrei tochachot. Says Rashi, the word nevuah doesn't really mean prophecy. It means rebuke. It means the Navi's job is to point out to Klal Yisrael, when they're doing something wrong and how to fix it. Yes, it might be that from time to time, the Navi is a prophet in that sense and tells us the future. And I think all of us, when we think of Nevi'im, we think, okay, great. A Navi is the person who tells the future. But if you look in Nach, overwhelmingly, Nevi'im aren't walking around telling the future. Nevi'im are walking around giving tochacha, criticizing. And I think it's probably true linguistically that we think of criticism, as having a negative connotation. I don't think it does. I could have looked it up, but I forgot to. The answer is, there's angry criticism, which I suppose, we don't like, but there's real criticism. There's loving criticism. There's caring criticism. There's I really want this to work, and you need to change your behavior in order to make it work. And that's what Rashi says a Navi is. And so, based on that, I want to discuss with you what is actually a mitzvah d'oraisa in the Torah. The mitzvah d'oraisa in the Torah is to rebuke. Now, we all know how dangerous that is, right? Everybody here has probably been on the receiving end of criticism where, you know, it didn't work. I'll say this, I sometimes think of shul as being a place where you sometimes daven, but most of you criticize other people, right? Either, you know, either in your head or actually, you know, by saying something. And so what I want to do is talk about the mitzvah and try to figure out parameters, because, you know, we generally have two approaches, or the way I see it is, I don't like to mix in. That's one position. Yes, I see bad things going on in shul. I see bad things going on in my community. I see horrible behavior, but I don't want to mix in. You know, somebody better than me, somebody stronger than me, somebody smarter than me, they'll give tochacha, not me. And then there's, you know, the feeling we have when we're on the receiving end, or let's say the people who criticize everything and they are quickly dismissed. So the question is, how do we create, how do we understand a mitzvah d'oraisa of giving tochacha? What are the parameters? And how can we figure out for ourselves, at least in theory, how we could be mekayim this mitzvah while minimizing what we all recognize as the backlash to criticism? So let's start with the pasuk in Kedoshim, source number 4. Lo tisnat achicha bilvavecha, right? Do not hate your fellow in your heart. Hocheach tochiach et amitecha, right? It's a double lashon. Hocheach tochiach. I don't know. You should surely rebuke et amitecha. So let's limit that to fellow Jews. Now, maybe it could be fellow religious Jews. It's hard to know. And then finally, v'lo tisa alav chet, and do not carry the burden of a sin. So there are three separate clauses in this pasuk. Lo tisnat achicha is one. Bilvavecha, that's one. Hocheach tochiach et amitecha, the one we're most interested in, is two. V'lo tisa alav chet is the third. And to a certain extent, the fundamental question is, how do you read those clauses? Are they connected or are they separate? So for example, lo tisnat achicha bilvavecha, do not hate a fellow Jew, comma, rebuke people when you see them doing something wrong, comma, and don't be responsible for somebody's sin, right? That's one possibility. The second possibility is lo tisnat achicha bilvavecha, don't hate him in your heart, rather, hocheach tochiach et amitecha, right? They're connected. Don't see something that's wrong and get angry about it. If you see something that's wrong and you're angry, then speak up. Tell the person that he's doing something wrong. Okay, those are, and then the last clause, v'lo tisa alav chet, we'll see, can be read in one of two ways. Okay, let's start. There are three basic gemaros that we have to look at that lay out the boundaries of the mitzvah of tochacha, again, a mitzvah d'oraisa, to rebuke your fellow. Okay, the first is source number 5, Gemara in Erechin, Tezayin Amud Bet. Says the Gemara as follows, Tanu Rabbanan, lo tisna et achicha bilvavecha, the beginning of our pasuk, yacha lo yakenu, lo yisterenu, v'lo yikalenu. It's almost hard to read. But could we say then you're not supposed to respond at all? Right? What does it mean you shouldn't hate him in your heart? Rather, the Gemara says, Talmud lomba bilvavecha. Sina shebelev hakatuv midaber. No, it's talking about you hate a guy, but you don't do anything about it and you don't say anything. And now the Gemara says, Minayin leroe bechaveiro davar migune shechayav lahochicho. How do you know that when you see somebody behaving poorly? Now, behaving poorly might mean doing an aveira, or behaving poorly might mean behaving poorly, right? Cutting a line, I don't know. So how do you know you're supposed to respond to him and rebuke him? Shenemar, hocheach tochiach. Okay, the mitzvah is, the response is supposed to be, you're supposed to tell the guy he's doing something wrong. So here, the first two clauses in the pasuk go together. If you see somebody doing something wrong and you hate him, don't be quiet. Rather, call him out. point out to him that he's doing something wrong. That will make you feel better, and something positive or something constructive will come from your anger. Okay, so that's the first thing. If you really see somebody misbehaving and it angers you, don't hold it in. Speak to the person. Now, where do you speak to the person and how do you speak to the person? That's a separate question that we'll come to. But for now, it sounds bizarre, right? There's a prohibition on hating your fellow in your heart. So you might have thought, well, then you're supposed to sit by yourself and overcome your anger and overcome your hatred. The Gemara says, no, the way to do it is by telling the guy, I really hate you. And here's why. Now, it sounds terrible until you really think about it. Because if you sit down and you think to yourself, I got to tell this guy why I hate him, it's pretty likely you're going to realize that you hate him for something stupid or that you're taking it personally. And that's where the anger comes from. Because if you had to explain to somebody what was wrong with your relationship, you'd really have to think about it long and hard. And it would probably teach you that either you're overreacting or, okay, there really is a problem and let me talk to the guy. Good. Says the Gemara at the end, Hochicho velo kibel. What if you tell the guy you're acting improperly and he tells you, I don't care? Minayin sheyachzor v'yochichanu. How do you know that you have to keep rebuking him? Talmud lomar tochiach mikol makom. Right? Why the double lashon of ocheach tochiach? It means you have to keep doing it. Now, a certain limitation. Yachol afilu mishtanim panav. Wait, do you have to do it even if he's becoming humiliated? Talmud lomar lo tisa alav chet. That's the last clause in our pasuk. Here the Gemara says, you're supposed to rebuke your fellow if he's doing something wrong. You're supposed to do it over and over, except lo tisa alav chet. If he's embarrassed, if he's humiliated, then you have to stop, because then you would be over the sin of humiliating your fellow. Okay? So the first Gemara seems to say, you have to do it, otherwise you'll be over the lo taseh of lo tisnat achicha bilvavacha, and you have to do it over and over again. Until what point? Until the point that it embarrasses the person. At a point in time in which it embarrasses we'll call him the perpetrator, you have to stop, even assuming that he's going to continue doing the Aveira. Okay? That's the first Gemara in Erechin Tazayin Amidbet. Now, next Gemara. Beitza Laman Amid Aleph, source number 6. Amalei Rava Barav Chanin La'abaye. Tanan, the Mishnah says, Ein mitabchin ve'ein misapkin ve'ein meraktin. Fascinating Mishnah and Gemara, and it really applies halacha lemaisa, unrelated to what we're discussing. The Mishnah says you're not supposed to dance, and you're not supposed to bang, and you're not supposed to clap on Shabbos. Yeah, but everybody does it. Says the Gemara, Ve'ha'idna de'kachazin on de'avdin hachi v'lo amrin lehu v'lo midi. But I don't understand. If that's the halacha, from Jews all over the place are banging on tables on Shabbos and dancing and clapping. Says the Gemara, na, Ella, hanach lohem li Yisrael. Leave them alone. Famous line now, mutav shiu shogigin va'al yehu mizidin. Better that they violate the halacha b'shogeg, by accident, rather than telling them, and they're going to do it on purpose. Meaning, what's the difference? You know, people are clapping and dancing. If you tell them, hey, you got to stop, it's a violation of Hilchos Shabbos, they're not going to listen to you. Presumably because everybody does it and their parents did it and their grandparents did it. So it's not going to work. So here the Gemara introduces a real limitation on the mitzvah of Tochacha, or at least a potential limitation, which is it has to work. If you calling a person out, right, if you tell, I don't know, you tell a non-observant Jew, you know, you're not allowed to eat meat and milk. Now, he never took it seriously. He's heard it before, but he grew up in a house where his parents did it and his rabbi does it. So is there a benefit? He's not going to listen to you. So here the Gemara says, no, better that he eats meat and milk without knowing that it's prohibited, instead of you telling him that it's prohibited and he's going to do it anyway. Mutav shiyu shogigin, better that he does it by accident. Va'al yehu mezidin, rather than doing it on purpose. Okay? Hachanami, so says the Gemara, exactly here in our Shabbos case. Also, anachlam Yisrael, mutav shiyu shogin, va'al yehu mezidin. But now, the Gemara introduces another limitation. Vahani mili, this idea, better shogig than mezid, bidirabanan. That only applies to a mitzvah drabanan. Aval bida oraisa lo. The Gemara at this stage says, well, if he's eating chicken and milk and he's not going to listen to you anyway, don't say anything because chicken and milk is only also midrabanan. But if he's having steak and milk, that's also midoraisa, so then you should speak to him. Ah, the Gemara says, no, velohi. It's not true. Lo shna bida oraisa, velo shna bidrabanan. Doesn't matter, d'oraisa drabanan. Lo amrinam lehu velo midi. We don't point it out to the person if he's not going to listen. Deha, interesting case. Tosefes yom hakipurim deoraisahu. The obligation to add additional time to Yom Kippur is min haTorah. And yet you look around, va'achli v'shasi ad shechashecha, v'lo amrinam lehu velo midi. And yet Jews eat and drink until nightfall, Erev Yom Kippur, and nobody says anything to them. So the Gemara concludes, it's strange. The Gemara concludes, based on the fact that Jews, at least in those times, broadly ignored the obligation to add additional time to Yom Kippur, therefore violating a mitzvah d'oraisa, the Gemara says, well, if nobody points it out to them, presumably because they wouldn't listen, again, not because they don't care, but I suppose what the Gemara is saying is people would say, what are you talking about? It's still light out. Why can't I eat? Why can't I drive in a car? So they're not going to listen. They never heard of Tosefes Yom HaKippurim. So the Gemara seems to conclude that Mutav Shiyu Shogigin Va'al Yehu Mezidin applies across the board to De'oraisas and to Rabbanans alike. Okay, so here what we see is there might be a mitzvah of Hocheach Tochiach. There might be a mitzvah of rebuking your fellow when he does something wrong, but it has to have a chance of working. If it's going to backfire, meaning if the guy is doing something wrong because he doesn't know that it's usur, and you're going to tell him that it's usur, and now he's going to do it wrong intentionally, then what have you gained? So the Gemara in Beitza stands for the proposition, I think, that tochacha, you know, has to work or at least can't backfire. Okay, again, if a person does it by accident, and when you point it out to them, they're going to continue doing it, but now they're going to do it on purpose, then don't point it out to them. Okay? That's the klal in this Gemara. One more Gemara. Yevamos Samachay Amud Bet, source number 7. Vam Rabbi Lo Mishum Rabbi Lazar Bar Shimon. Kishem shem mitzvah al adam lomar davar hanishma. Just like there's a mitzvah of hocheach tochiach es amisecha, and when you think you could change this person's behavior, you have to do it. Kach mitzvah al adam shelo lomar davar sheino nishma. Similarly, we are commanded not to rebuke somebody when you know they're not going to listen to you. Rabbi Ava Omar. Chova, no, it's an obligation not to rebuke such a person. Shenema, the pasuk in Mishle, al tochiach letz pen yisna'acha. Don't rebuke, a dope, because he'll hate you. Hocheach lechacham v'avecha. Rather, rebuke a smart person because he'll love you. Because thoughtful, intelligent people are happy to hear that they're doing something wrong because they want to improve. So this last Gemara is really big. What's the difference between the Gemara in Yevamos and the Gemara in Beitza? Well, the Gemara in Beitza limits rebuke to a case where the person is currently shogeg, and if you rebuke him, he'll be mazid. But the Gemara in Yevamos seems to include within it a case where the person is already mazid, right? The person knows you're not allowed to drive on Shabbos. Okay, but he drives anyway. Is there any chance when you say to him, you know, you're not allowed to drive on Shabbos, that it's going to change his behavior? Of course not. So then says the Gemara, Kishem shemitzvah al adam lomar davar hanishma, just like if you could stop him from driving on Shabbos, you need to. Kach mitzvah l'adam shelo lomar davar sheino nishma. But similarly, if you know he's not going to listen to you, there's no point in talking to him. Okay, those are the broad parameters that we find in the sugyas in the Gemara to the mitzvah vocheach tochiach hasamisecha. Okay, you want to do it in a way that works. You don't want to have, negative fallback in the sense that you're going to make things worse. But there is an obligation to point out flaws, and certainly, if it makes you hate the other person, there's a mitzvah to point it out. Now, how does the Rambam synthesize these three Gemaras? So look in source number 8. Here's the Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvos number 205. Says the Rambam, He shetzivanu lahochiach hachote omi sheyirtze lachto. Right? We have a mitzvah d'oraisa to rebuke the sinner, vilimnoto, or the attempted sinner, and to try to stop him imenu. Again, you don't hold the guy, you don't jump on him, but you do it with words. You try to point out to him that what he's doing is wrong in an effort to try to get him to stop. Okay, now, this is important because it looks like for the Rambam, the goal of tochacha is to stop the Avera, right? It's a very practical mitzvah. You see somebody violating the Torah, you're supposed to try to stop them. Now, presumably, if you realize you couldn't stop them, maybe the Rambam would think otherwise. But it's clear in the first sentence, at least in the Rambam, that the goal is to stop the misbehavior. Now, why? So the Rambam says, Ve'ein ra'ui lanu sheyomar echad mimenu, ani lo echta, v'im yechta zulati mali, dino im elokav. This changes the analysis completely. Says the Rambam, why would you not get involved? Right? You see somebody violating halacha. Why would you not get involved? So the Rambam says, well, you'll say to yourself, it's none of my business. I keep Shabbos. He doesn't keep Shabbos. It's between him and his God. Right? The Rambam says as forcefully as he can, three words, bottom line, ze hefech ha-Torah. Right. I think the Rambam would say, he doesn't say the words, but it's, v'yohavta l'recha kamocha, meaning we're all in this together. The sense you get is that the Rambam thinks when you see somebody misbehaving, it's supposed to bother you. Not in a personal way, but you're supposed to be offended. I guess the question is, are you offended for God, right? Are you offended for the Torah, or do you feel just responsible to your friend? He's making a mistake. When you see a person who you care about making a mistake, you immediately try to stop them. Why? Because you care about this person. So I think what the Rambam is saying, it's a practical mitzvah. You want to stop the person from sinning, but it comes in two flavors. One is, I want to stop the person sinning as a mitzvah bein adam l'chaveiro, because I love this person. I care about him. And I don't want him to make a mistake. Or I want to stop this person from sinning as a mitzvah bein olam lamakom. I love God so much that I can't bear to see a person, violating halacha. And so I'm going to try to stop it. Okay. The Rambam continues. Bottom line. Aval anachnu mitzuvim shelo nomra velo na'azov zulatein me'umotenu sheyamre. V'gam hishtatel lahamrot chayavim, lahamrot, right? If we see a person trying to reject Torah, chayavim anu lahochicho ulahashivo. Now, we have to get involved. Now here, and I'll just say it, I don't want to get involved in it, but like in Israel now, this Chaim Walder thing and responses to it are all anybody talks about. Here the Rambam says something interesting, right? You might say to yourself, well, if a Bezdin and Edim show up and say that this guy's guilty, then I'll get involved. See, the Rambam says something interesting. It's true. Maybe you're not 100% sure, and there are no witnesses, and there's no Bezdin, but you see something terrible going on. Says the Rambam, no, the mitzvah of ochech tochiach is not after a Bezdin rules. The mitzvah of Ocheach Tochich is when you see something terrible happening, you have to point it out and you have to try to stop it. Okay, that's the main Shitas HaRambam. But there's one other point the Rambam makes. I broke it into paragraphs just so it'd be clear. Says the Rambam, V'nichnas b'tzivuy hazeh, shena'ashim kitzatenu likitzatenu. That's just the Rambam phrase. Some of us, to some of us, means only Jews. K'sheyachta ish mimenu li'ish, v'lo natur lo, v'nachshov lo avon. Here's the end of the pasuk. Says that, not the end of the pasuk. Here's another pshat in the pasuk. The Rambam says there's something else going on. What's going on is you see a person misbehaving, and you get angry, and you get angrier and angrier, and it's you hold it in. Says the Rambam, rather, aval nitztavinu lahochicho b'ma'amar ad shelo yishar davar b'nefesh. Right? Don't get an ulcer, says the Rambam. If you're so angry at the person because of his misbehavior, you got to say something, right? Lo sisnas achicha bilvavecha, the Rambam would say, rather, hocheach tochiach et amitecha. Speak it out. And again, as we said before, I think when you feel the obligation to explain to a person why you're angry with him, why you're disappointed with him, you may learn things about yourself. It may force you to recognize that maybe you're sensitive to something that doesn't really matter. And if that's not the case, so you'll explain it to him. Do it over and over again. What if he gets embarrassed? No, then you have to stop. Who does this? Doesn't matter your standing. Doesn't matter that the other person is a Talmud Chacham, and maybe you're not. If you see it and it's wrong, you have to figure out how to point it out. Okay? Va'afilu kilel oto ubizehu, and the person, you know, insults you back, lo yosur milochiach ad sheyakehu. Okay, the Rambam says, you have to keep giving him tochacha until he hits you. All right, hard to know exactly what to do with that halacha l'maisa. But at least in the Rambam, it's pretty clear that the mitzvah is to try to prevent the aver from happening, right? It's a practical mitzvah. So long as you think you can prevent it, so long as you think there's benefit to your pointing out the, you know, the mistake that this person is making or the avera, then you have to do it. But it's very practical. Okay? Now, at least in this Rambam, the Rambam quotes the Sifra, who says that at the end of the pasuk, when it says v'lo tisa alav chet, what it means is don't rebuke him publicly in a way that will humiliate him, because then it will be a chet. But the Rambam, will skip, because we're going to run out of time, we'll skip the main part of the Rambam, but when the Rambam codifies this in the Yad HaChazaka, it comes out slightly differently. The last line, which I bolded, says, v'chol she'efshar bi'ado limchot, ve'eino moche, and I think here the Rambam really means you could stop it and you don't. Hu nitpas ba'avon elu. It's as if you violated this halacha. Why? Kevan she'efshar lo limchot bahem. The Rambam says, you see a person, you have a guest for Shabbos, and they would listen to you. I'm adding to the Rambam, but I think this is what he means. They would listen to you if you told them, and they decide they want to go for a drive after lunch on Shabbos. And you could say to them, listen, you know, it's not proper to go for a drive on Shabbos. It's prohibited. And you don't, because you don't want to mix in. You don't want there to be tension. You don't want to hurt their feelings, God forbid. Then says the Rambam, you carry that Avera. It's as if you did that Avera. That's pretty harsh. It reminds us of the mitzvah of, or the lotase of lifnei iver lo titein michshol, right? One of the pshatim there is, if you give a person bad advice, if you give a person, you know, non-kosher food to eat, it and he eats it, it's as if you ate the non-kosher food. This is a very, very, you know, it's an expansive statement and it's harsh. If you could stop the person and you choose not to, it's as if you did the Avera. And that's the other pshat in the pasuk. V'lo tisa lav chet, and it's really a great pshat. Rebuke the person, because if you don't, you will bear his sin. If you could have stopped it and you don't, it's your avera. Okay, that's harsh, but that's what the Rambam says in the Yad HaChazakah. So at least in the Rambam, the mitzvah is clear. The mitzvah is, if you could stop an avera from happening, you have a mitzvah d'oraisa to do it, and if you don't, you carry the burden of that avera. Okay, but it's very practical. Now, again, two ways to understand it. Either as a beinam l'chavero, right? You have an obligation to be concerned about the behavior of other Jews, and if you don't do that, you're in violation of a beinam l'chavero. Or no, you have the obligation to care about HaKadosh Baruch Hu and his Torah. And if you don't stop an aver from happening, it's as if you don't care about God and his Torah. Or say it the other way, it's as if you're a selfish Jew. I care only about my observance. I don't care about other people's observance. That's the Rambam. The Smak in source number 10 has a completely different take on the mitzvah. Says the Smak, v'imlo, the Sefer Mitzvahs Katan, v'imlo hochicho ne'anash kimoto, that he agrees with the Rambam on. If you don't stop him, you get the Avera like he does. Achim barur lo shelo yikabel tochachto v'hachotei shogeg, but Gemar and Beitza, if the guy's a shogeg, alze amru chachamim mutav shu shogin v'ayum zidin, then don't mix in, because you'll only make it worse. But v'machotei mezid u'barur lemochiach shelo yikabel eino ne'enash kimoto. Okay, if it's clear that you can't stop the person from driving on Shabbos, you don't bear his avera, says the Smak, because you couldn't have stopped it. Ach, who over al mitzvat hocheach tochiach, but you're still in violation of the mitzvah of hocheach tochiach, ad sheyiznof hachote, until you tell him, you know, you stand up and you say it's wrong. Va'afilu me'ah pamim tzarich lochicho, and you have to do it over and over again. Well, I don't get it. If it's not going to help, he's not going to listen to you, then why do you have a mitzvah of hocheach tochiach? And the answer is, I believe, for the Smak at least, he sees the mitzvah different than the Rambam. The Rambam basically said it was la'afrushe me'isura. Hocheach tochech zamisecha, stop averus from happening. But the Smak sounds like it's more like a macha'a. It's more like a protest. And here, you know, the Smak represents the Haredi view, and we should acknowledge it. And that is, when you see something wrong happening, you should protest. Aye, they're not going to listen to you. Yeah, but there are communal standards. If everybody stands aside while people do something wrong and nobody points out that it's wrong, it's probably going to spread. You know, in Efrat, I guess 90% of people are religious. But driving on Shabbos is permitted, right? And everybody's clear, you know, that obviously no one throws rocks, but everybody's clear, you know, that you shouldn't yell Shabbos and you shouldn't stand in the middle of the road. And it seems right to me also. But we have to ask ourselves, if we lose all communal standards, right? If nobody ever points out that this behavior is wrong, you know, take the craziest case. Well, it never happens, I guess. You know, somebody brings a ham sandwich to shul on Yom Kippur, right? So no one's going to say something? Are we just going to let it go? So I think the Smak would say, well, the Rambam would say, well, perhaps, because he's not going to stop anyway. You know he's doing it b'mezid. He's trying to annoy you. So what's the point? But the Smak would say, the point is the principle. You want to stand up and say, this behavior is unacceptable. You may not listen to me. There may not be a benefit to me pointing this out in terms of your behavior. But if hocheach tochich es amisecha is to stand up and say, you know, this behavior is unacceptable, we don't like it in our community, we don't like it in our shul, there'll be an educational purpose, right? People will understand that we're against this behavior. I'm obviously not advocating one side or another, it's not for me to do. But that's the fundamental chakira. Is hocheach tochiach, you know, a functional mitzvah, la'afrushe me'isura, we're obligated where we can to minimize averos and to stop people from sinning? Or is it a statement of principle? The guy's not going to listen to me, it's true. But so what? So long as I'm not humiliating him, I'm making a point. And the point I'm making is, this behavior is unacceptable because it's a violation of halacha. Okay? We have to feel our way through this. Luckily, there actually is, almost by accident, a siman in Shulchan Aruch, in Orach Chaim of all places, where the Ramah kind of lays out the rules, the halacha lemaisa rules. It comes up in the context of what we mentioned before, and that is people not adding on extra time to Yom Kippur. Okay? And it does, it's funny, but it does happen. I don't see it as much, but when I was a kid, I remember, you know, the only time women went to shul was Yom Kippur. That was a big thing, and everybody drove to shul. And you drove to shul after the Sudam Afsekes, and it was pretty close to, you know, to the end of the day. So here, look in source number 11. Here's the Shulchan Aruch and Tuf Reish Ches in Orach Chaim. Nashim she'ochlot v'shotot ad she'chashecha. Okay, they eat and drink up until it, you know, Shkia on Yom Kippur, instead of stopping earlier. V'hein einan yodot she'mitzvah lohosif michol ala kodesh. He says, they're shogigim. It's clear that they don't know the halacha. What's the halacha? Ein memechin biyadam. We don't stop them. We don't chastise them. No tochacha. Why? Kidei shelo tavou la'asot bizadon. Because, says the Mechaber, they're not going to listen to you. Again, my assumption is not because, God forbid, they don't care, but because it's been everybody's been doing for generations, so they're not going to believe you. So in that case, it sounds like the Rambam. The point is to try to stop them. If there's a chance to stop the Avera, you should intervene, but here there's no chance, so you don't. Now here's the Rambam. Says the Rambam broadly, V'hu hadin b'chol dvar isur. Amrinan mutav shiyu shogigin v'lo yu mezidin. Halacha l'maisa, says the Rambam, if you're dealing with a person who doesn't know the halacha, and you're sure that they're not going to listen to you anyway, don't say anything. Because it's better that they do it b'shogeg rather than b'mezid. But now there's a really fascinating and important qualification. Says the Rama, v'davka she'eino mefurash b'torah, afal pi shehudo raisa, aval im mefurash b'torah, mochin b'yado. Fascinating halacha. Says the Rama, there are two types of doraisas. There are doraisas, let's say you see your neighbor, your Jewish neighbor, watering his grass on Shabbos. That's an iser doraisa. Okay? But it's not written in the Torah. But says the Rama, let's say you see your neighbor, your Jewish neighbor, eating chametz on Pesach. That's written in the Torah. So the Rama says there's a difference. If something's written in the Torah, even if you think the guy doesn't know the halacha, you have to intervene. But if it's not written in the Torah, and you think the guy doesn't know the halacha and he's not going to listen to you anyway, you don't have to intervene. Now, why should this be? I think it's clear. I also think it doesn't apply anymore. I think the Rama assumes that if you showed a person a pasuk, if you showed a Jew a pasuk, and said, listen, it says, Lo tivaruish b'chol moshvotechem b'yom ha-shabbat. You can't make a campfire. Of course they would listen. They would read in the Torah. Who wouldn't listen if they saw it in the Torah? But if they didn't see it in the Torah, because it's a drasha, because it's a kal b'chomer, because it's a gzer shava, then it doesn't pay, right? But I think the Ramah can't imagine he showed a pasuk to a Jew and he would ignore it. Okay, we all know that that's probably not the case anymore. Right? Showing a pasuk to a Jew won't change his mind if he's irreligious. Okay? So the first rule was, if there's a chance to stop the Aveira, you have to try to stop it. The second rule is, if it's clear he's going to reject it, better that he's a shogeg than that he's a mezid. Unless, third rule, it's mefurash b'kra. Right? If it's actually written in the Torah, the assumption is he would have to give in. Okay, true story. I was an NCSY advisor many, many years ago. And I walked into the bathroom. We had a Shabbaton. I walked into the bathroom before Shabbos, and a guy was shaving with a blade. Okay, I didn't know any of this fancy lumdus then. I just knew it was usur. So I said to him, you know, you can't do that. And he basically said to me, you know, get out of the bathroom. And to point out the obvious, he was holding a blade. So it wasn't, you know, it wasn't going to tackle the guy. Now, shaving with a blade is a pasuk in the Torah, right? Ta'ar lo ya'ale al rosho. That's not the right pasuk. Not bal takif. It's a pasuk in Emor. Somebody yell it out if you remember it. I can't remember it. Doesn't matter. It's a pasuk. So I suppose, you know, I had to take out a chumash and show him the pasuk because the rules are different in that situation. Hard to know. It's really hard to know what, you know, what the rules are. But I think, you know, the sense you get when you read it in Shulchan Aruch and the sense you get when you read the Rambam and when you read the Smat is that, you know, there's a balance going on, right? There's a balance of communal standards, which I wonder whether we underplay. You know, my instinct is all of us are less interested in picking a fight and less interested in calling people out. And maybe our instincts are correct. But I think when we really think we could make a difference, halacha lemaisa, when we really think we could make a difference, we better think again. Because if we could make a difference and we don't, that's a bittul mitzvah saseh. Now, you can make a difference in one of two ways. One is to try to get the guy to stop doing the avera. Right, the Rambam thinks that's the mitzvah. If you could do that, for sure you have to do it. And if you can't, you know, then you, and then if you don't, then you're in violation of the mitzvah. The smack thinks it doesn't even matter. What you have to do is make clear that this behavior is unacceptable. Right? It's a matter of principle. My guess is we have to find ways to incorporate both. Right? Sometimes you know it's not going to help. And sometimes you know that everybody knows that it's wrong behavior. So the line you're not allowed to cross, l'chala deos, is to humiliate the guy, right? That's not possible, which probably leads more to an issue of how do you go about doing this aveira? I'm sorry, how do you go about doing this mitzvah? So let's skip just so we finish. Go to the last source. This is famous, and it's something we should think about. Amar Rav Tarfon, Tumhani, I wonder, or Tamea Ani, Im Yesh Bidor Hazeh Shemekabel Tochacha. Do we have people left anymore who are willing to accept criticism without lashing out? Amar Rav Elazar ben Azariah, Timhani Im Yesh Bidor Hazeh Sheyodea Lahochiach. I wonder the opposite. Do we have people in this generation who know how to properly criticize? I think, you know, we need to talk and to focus on both sides of it. None of us, speaking for myself, are good at taking criticism, right? If you're not good at taking criticism, you're probably not good at giving criticism. My sense, I thought about this for a while. My sense is as follows. Doing it in shul, in front of others, never works. Maybe for the smack, you know, making an announcement that speaking in the middle of shema is in violation of the halacha and communal standards, you know, maybe there's a benefit to that. But bishas maisa, 100% of the times that I've seen it happen in shul, and I've been going to shul for a long time, the guy gets angry at you. You know, he lashes back, right? You see it. Probably the way many of us would, because it's embarrassing, and, you know, you're angry in that moment. It's almost always the way, or the better way, to do it in private, and probably not even to do it, you know, that day. You do it on a Monday or a Tuesday. You do it in an email. You do it quietly. You know, it could be that you don't know, or perhaps it doesn't bother you, but it bothers me. There are so many easier ways that we can give constructive criticism. But I think that last Gemara is pretty critical to us, which is if we're going to do it, we have to be able to get it. It has to be the case somehow that we teach ourselves that often people aren't picking fights with us. They're trying to help. They're either trying to help us personally. I think when a close friend gives you criticism, it's different. They try to help you personally, or they're trying to uphold communal standards. And they want us to know. I think the better we are at hearing, the better we are at accepting criticism, almost certainly the better we will be at giving criticism. So in the end, you know, if it bothers you, you're supposed to say something, but you're supposed to say something in the way that's most likely to achieve a positive outcome. And you're supposed to say something in a way that shows caring and that might help. Mechaber's altogether said, I'm reading this, one second. Second, on the state of women's, yes, but I don't want to talk about that. All right, anyway, Jackie ruined the end of the shiur by posting that funny question. Okay, that's it. I guess we could come back to the parsha, but it's not really worth it. You see in the parsha, sometimes criticism works and sometimes it doesn't. And, you know, criticism and anger never works, but reflective criticism does work. I think we see it in the Torah. Let's put it this way. I'll end with this. If Moshe Rabbeinu can make mistakes and Moshe Rabbeinu can sin, as clearly happened the number of times in the Torah, you know, we're not better than Moshe Rabbeinu. We can make mistakes. We can sin and people can call us out on it. And we ought to take it like the grown-ups we are. All right. Shabbat Shalom.